Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is March 23rd, 2021, and my head is still spinning from all of the March Madness that has taken place so far in the NCAA Men's College Basketball Tournament. It's been fun, man. I must say, it's been fun. I think it all depends on as well, of course, you know, for those who indulge in bracketology and indulge in, you know, bracket pools with your friends or coworkers. It all depends on how well you're doing in those as well. Because, you know, if you're a competitor like me, you want to win. You want to win. And I've been pretty fortunate thus far to do pretty well in both of the pools that I'm in, but I know a lot of people who aren't. There are more people who aren't doing well than those who are, because this tournament has just been filled with a lot of surprises, a lot of unexpectancies. And on the flip side of that, look, if you're just a fan of sports, you know, brackets aside, you got to appreciate what happens around this time of the year when we do see Cinderellas come out of nowhere and just give us a thrill. So it's been fun, folks, and I'm looking forward to the sweetness of 16, just like I'm sure many of you are out there. And Michigan, I want to start with Michigan here because I want to comb through some of my biggest takeaways of the tournament thus far. And you know what? I have to go and tally the record from yesterday's Current Sports, because for those that tuned in on Monday, you guys know that I had Deshaun Tate of Tate's Take Hoops on the show, formerly of 92.9 The Game down in Atlanta. And he's just really done a great job of taking his own brand and doing his own thing. And Deshaun knows all things basketball. But I went head up with him yesterday when it comes to those final slate of games that decided the final teams that booked a ticket to the sweetness of 16. So our picks differed a little bit, and I don't know, we may have tied yesterday. I have to go back and see, because he already owes me a steak for a bet that I won like years ago. But we went double or nothing yesterday. But you know, as I talked with Deshaun when it comes to various topics, the one I really wanted to get his thoughts on was the disappointment that has been the Big Ten Conference. Because no doubt about it, the Big Ten has been an utter disappointment here in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, when it came to what Deshaun had to say, you know, he said that he wasn't really surprised because he kind of expected this. And then that's when I followed up and said, well, we need to put the brakes right now on this whole chatter about the Big Ten being the best college basketball conference in the nation, in the sport, because this 21-year drought is crazy. And the fact that year after year, the Big Ten is getting, you know, usually the most teams in the tournament, at least for the last, you know, like 5 to 7 years, and yet the Big Ten still has no college basketball champion since Michigan State donned that honor back in 2000 with the Flintstones and, you know, led by Mateen Cleaves. I mean, that's ridiculous. And you look at, you know, the Sweet 16 right now, you've got Gonzaga, Creighton, Baylor, Villanova, USC, Oregon, and how about USC, man? That was such a surprise. I mean, number three, Kansas. I mean, that's a storied blue blood program in college hoops. And that's a shorthanded USC team as well. I mean, delivering that kind of knockout, 85-51 against the Jayhawks, incredibly surprising there. But you got, you know, USC, Oregon, who beat a Big Ten team in Iowa to get to the Sweet 16, Arkansas, Oral Roberts, Michigan, which I'm going to tackle in just a moment, you know, that thrilling game against LSU yesterday. But Michigan, Florida State, Loyola Chicago, one of the Cinderellas of the tournament, Oregon State, also a low seed Cinderella in the tournament, still alive, Syracuse, Houston, and then UCLA and Alabama. You look at that list, and yeah, folks, there is only one Big Ten team represented in the sweetness of 16. That's a crime. That's a crime. And unless Michigan runs the table and continues to win and wins this whole thing, then I'll come out and say, okay, maybe I was wrong about this whole Big Ten thing. Because all you need is one to win the whole thing. Just give me one representative to win the whole enchilada, and then, okay, may my thoughts will differ, and I'll come back on here and apologize. But right now, no apologies needed right now, folks. It's unfortunate, but it is oh so true. And I want to give a big shout-out to Jack Ebling, host of Press Pass on Fox 47, and also The Drive with Jack weekdays at 3. He invited me on his radio show yesterday, and I expressed these very same thoughts, that the Big Ten has been horrible and deserves all of the smoke that they are getting right now for only having one team remaining in this tournament. When you had 9 teams represented from this supposedly best conference in all of college basketball, I don't want to hear that mess. But congratulations to those who have made the sweetness of 16. Right now, I believe it's really for me, Baylor and Gonzaga at the top of the food chain, and then everybody else. Gonzaga first, and then Baylor, and then everybody else. Because the way that Baylor and Gonzaga have handled business so far has been pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, folks. And Baylor knocked off a Big Ten team in Wisconsin to book that ticket to the sweetness of 16. And Baylor will actually be taking on Villanova, as I mentioned. But let's talk about Michigan, right? Let's talk about Michigan. Because this Michigan basketball team is intriguing on a lot of different levels, and you got to give Juwan Howard a lot of credit. Not only do I believe I agree with the fact that he is and deserved to be the Big Ten Coach of the Year, I think he deserves to be the National Coach of the Year as well. To play in your very first March Madness. Yesterday, they would have made it, and who knows what kind of noise they could have made last year. Last year, they would have definitely made the tournament, but, of course, due to COVID-19, we didn't have a tournament. But this season, being his first March Madness ever, and for him to lead the Michigan Wolverines to the sweetness of 16, hats off to him, man. That is not easy to do. And he just made it look easy. Even though that wasn't an easy game yesterday, because LSU had Michigan in a dogfight yesterday. And I actually, in one of my pools, and this I'm certain hurt me, but in one of my pools, I actually I chose LSU to knock off Michigan. Just wasn't a believer, you know, that the Big Ten has been the Big Ten has just been so bad on so many different levels that I'm like, I'm not choosing Michigan to win this game. And I really thought that LSU matched up very well against the Wolverines, and they certainly did. You know, especially the way that game started, it looked as though LSU was headed to maybe a blowout win. But Michigan and that resiliency and getting production from other players was big time. Absolutely big time, folks. And it was so cool to see just other guys step up. You know, did the Michigan State fan in me, you know, come out, and was I rooting for LSU to come out with the dub? Yeah, I can't lie. Yeah, I can't lie. I'm like, man, it's like you get so salty around this time of the year. You know, me being an MSU alum, sometimes you just can't hide that fandom. You know, whenever you talk about the maize and blue, there is that part of me. Even though I am in the media, I can't lie. I got to keep it 1,000 with you guys. There is that part of me that comes out from time to time and says, oh, yeah, I may have on this WKAR badge, but man, do I hate that maize and blue. And, you know, I sat there and watched that game, and there was a part of me saying, come on, Tigers. And you know who also I thought about yesterday when watching that game is my former engineer, Isaac Constance, who is from New Orleans, from Louisiana, and his family, you know, he was brought up to be like this, you know, this diehard LSU fan. And he was always, you know, if he wasn't talking about Michigan State, of course, because he went to Michigan State and got his degree from Michigan State. But, you know, if he wasn't talking about Michigan State, he was talking about LSU, and he loves his Tigers. So I thought about him yesterday as well. So shout out to Isaac. But the Tigers, man, they have a solid team and some really impressive performances from players like the freshman and Cameron Thomas, who was big, you know, the 6'4 guard. He led the team yesterday with 30 points. Thomas was huge, folks. And then also, right behind him, pouring in 27 points, who also had a big game, was Smart, Javonte Smart, junior guard from Baton Rouge. They played awesome. But Michigan, I thought just Michigan, man, they got more production from more players, because if you look at other than the production of Thomas and Smart, 30 and 27 points respectively, the third leading scorer on the team only had 11 points. And that was Watford, Trendon Watford, sophomore from Birmingham, Alabama. Other than those three, you didn't have a player who scored more than 6 points. So it was really a three-man show for LSU. Whereas, you know, you look at Michigan, I mean, you got double-digit production from Eli Brooks, Franz Wagner, Hunter Dickinson, and for me, who was the MVP of the game, and he tied Eli Brooks for, you know, the leading scorer of the game. Those were your leading scorers of the game in Eli Brooks and Shondi Brown. Shondi Brown was the MVP of that game, hitting timely buckets whenever he had just a little bit of space. He was stringing it from deep or, you know, putting it on the ground and going to the hole and getting a bucket. But he shot 50% from the three-point line. He was 3 of 6, 6 of 9 from the floor, period. I mean, that was awesome to see, man. And, you know, we talked about it constantly. Once we found out about the unfortunate injury to Isaiah Livers, and I keep hearing rumors, too, that there's still a possibility that Isaiah Livers may come back and suit it up for the Maize and Blue in the Sweet 16. We'll see. That would be pretty incredible. That would be Willis Reed-esque, wouldn't it? But once we found out that Isaiah Livers, who is still traveling with the team, I mean, you know, Juwan Howard, he noted how important it is for Isaiah to be with the team, still cheering them on and being there for moral support, because he is such a major personality for this Michigan Wolverines team. But once we found out he was injured, we all immediately looked at Sean D. Brown as the player to step up. And he answered that call and then some yesterday. It was incredible watching him, man, because, you know, it's like anytime LSU would make a run or when Michigan would get the lead and LSU started to storm back a bit, it was like every time that happened, Sean D. Brown would come in and just knock down a big shot or get fouled and go to the free throw line. I mean, it was amazing. He was also 6 of 6 from the charity stripe as well. Want to note that. Pretty amazing stuff, man. And then you got to give a lot of credit to, you know, again, I mentioned how Dickinson, Wagner, Brooks, and Brown all scored in double-digit points. But I want to give a lot of credit to the little mentee of NBA basketball superstar Jimmy Butler, that being Mike Smith. Mike Smith has held it down at the point guard position for the Michigan Wolverines. And I always say, when it comes to the college basketball game, if you do not have good guards, specifically, you know, at the point guard position, you will not win. You will not go far. You have to have good guards. You have to have a good point guard, specifically, which was Michigan State's problem this year, right? And Mike Smith, you know, he didn't light it up in the scoring column, but he didn't need to, because you had, you know, guys like Brown and Brooks, Wagner, Dickinson doing what they do, or doing what they did yesterday. Mike Smith, though, did a great job of keeping the pace of the game and facilitating. He had six assists to go along with his 5 points yesterday. And then Eli Brooks, I mean, sharing the basketball, it becomes contagious, especially when your point guard is setting guys up left and right. It has this trickle-down effect of everybody becoming unselfish. You know, when you have a point guard who can dish it out, other players start dishing it out as well. And you start getting hockey assists from certain guys. But Eli Brooks, to go along with his 21 points, and he was big from deep as well. 5 of 9 from the three-point line. He had some big, big buckets from deep. But he had 7 assists. One more assist than Mike Smith did. Throw in 3 assists for Hunter Dickinson. Throw in 2 assists for Franz Wagner. Sean D. Brown also had 3 assists. It's amazing. And credit Michigan, because they were able to still pull this game out, even though LSU only had 3 turnovers the entire game. That's the stat. When I looked at the box score at the end of the game, that's the stat that really stood out to me. That LSU only turned the basketball over 3 times the entire 40 minutes of that basketball game last night, and Michigan was still able to win. That's impressive. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that Michigan was fantastic defensively. And they were. When Michigan needed to get stops in that game, they got the necessary stops. When Michigan needed to buckle down and contest a jump shot or get in there and contest anything going up in the paint, they did that. And LSU became very, very frustrated. You know, one of the announcers yesterday mentioned the fact that LSU ranked like something like second in the nation when it came to made floaters. That's what they do. And they were hitting those floaters early on in that game. But Michigan buckled down and started contesting those floaters, and they weren't going in. They just weren't. And Michigan guarded the three-point line very, very well, which led to LSU shooting 6 of 21 from deep, 28%. That's winning basketball, folks. And I don't know. Who knows? Is this Michigan basketball team for real? I don't know. I want to see another game because, look, they were supposed to do what they did to a 16 seed in Texas Southern. Blowout victory there, 82-66. Impressive win against LSU, but can you do it again against a Florida State team that made Colorado look silly? Also, in one of my pools, I chose the Buffs. Of course, that's the former school of head football coach Mel Tucker. I chose the Buffs to beat Florida State, and I was so wrong on that. So I just need to see more. If Michigan can do it against Florida State, okay, maybe they start to convince me a little bit, but I still really like Alabama. I really, really, really like Alabama, who shut down all of, you know, that noise for Maryland. Oh, we still got Maryland in, you know, Al, don't. Yeah, come on now. We still got Michigan and Maryland still alive. I was hearing that yesterday. And then Alabama just shut down all of that noise. A 96-77 win against the Terps. So I still think Alabama is going to come out the East. But, boy, oh, boy, wouldn't that be something if Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines proved me wrong. So we are going to see. But I need to see more from the Wolverines. We'll see if they can get past Florida State to get to the Elite Eight this weekend, and then we'll see if they can get past Alabama. But it's been a fun NCAA tournament. You know, I asked Deshaun yesterday what his favorite moment has been, and just there's just, you know, he just talked about the emotion, man, of seeing certain teams who don't have a long story history of having success in the tournament win basketball games, and that emotion just coming out after that buzzer sounds. Yeah, that's so much fun to see, isn't it? And for me, you know, my favorite moment, I don't know. I don't know if I can just choose just one. There's been so many, but I love watching the Oral Roberts of the world, the Loyola Chicago's of the world. And speaking of Loyola Chicago, I love seeing Sister Jean on my television, man. You know, the power of Sister Jean. Oh, boy. Goodness, I love it. I love it. I love Sister Jean. How can you not love Sister Jean, right? And, you know, I heard a few takes yesterday. You know, there's some people that think that she's being shown too much on television, and, you know, the media is making too much of a big deal when it comes to Sister Jean. It's like, come on, man. Lighten up. Have a heart. How can you hate on Sister Jean? There's something wrong with you. You need to take a long look in the mirror if you got a problem with Sister Jean. Okay? but I love those moments, man. And speaking of Loyola Chicago, again, I gave him a shout-out yesterday on the show, but I want to do it again. Drew Valentine, who is the older brother of former Michigan State basketball great Denzel Valentine, both local Lansing products. Drew, of course, took his basketball talents as a player to Oakland, playing under Greg Campy, but he's turned out to be a very impressive young coach, hasn't he? And it's cool seeing Drew on the sidelines of Loyola Chicago, talking with the players, motivating them, barking out instructions. I think he's going to have a great, if he keeps trending like this, man, he is going to have a great coaching career wherever he goes. And Carlton Valentine, his father, very well known here in the area. Carlton Valentine has been present at the game supporting Drew, and it's been awesome to see, man. So I want to give a shout out to the Valentine family and specifically Drew Valentine for doing his thing on the sidelines for Loyola Chicago. But I want to hear from you guys. You know, what has been your favorite moment of the NCAA tournament? What are your thoughts on the sweetness of 16, those remaining? What are your thoughts on the Michigan Wolverines? Do you think they will survive another weekend and possibly book a ticket to the Final Four? Wouldn't that be something if Juwan Howard can do that in his first, again, just his first March Madness appearance? Wow, that would truly be something special. But I want to get your thoughts on all of that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call in and leave us a voicemail at that number, and I will play it. I promise you I will play it on the Wednesday edition of Current Sports tomorrow on the 24th. You can also leave us a comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. What I want to do right now, though, is I want to hit our first break. I want to touch upon Michigan State football beginning spring practices. That's a big story, a big headline. There have been a few promo videos out there detailing Michigan State spring football starting back up. So I want to touch upon that. I also do want to touch upon this very troubling story surrounding Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson and how race does play a factor in how we view this thing. Trust me, you want to stick around for that conversation and more. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, I really hope you guys are enjoying the madness of March. I know I am, man. I think I need a break from my TV a bit. I don't even know if I'm going to turn it on until like sometime later on tonight, because I've been watching just so many games, sitting on my couch with my laptop in my lap, just doing work and enjoying each and every game. Folks, spring football, though, has officially begun for the Michigan State football team. The first day of spring practice is today. I wish I could bring to you the press conference from head football coach Mel Tucker, but he won't be speaking until after I get off the airwaves today. So we'll bring to you that coverage on tomorrow's Current Sports. So don't want to miss Wednesday's show. But as I speak right now, I'm actually looking at Mel Tucker's Twitter page at coach_M Tucker. And, you know, it's a really cool social media video that really gets you pumped up, man, for the start of college football. I know it's months and months away, but, you know, when you watch this video, you hear the music and you see these guys going at it in the weight room, going at it in on the practice field. You know, you see Mel Tucker pumping his guys up. There's one clip of Mel where he's kind of yelling like, "What? Why are we walking? Why are we walking?" I actually here is the audio of this hype video. Check it out.
There's no secret. We've got a lot of work to do. We're not where we need to be. We know what the best in our league look like. We know what the best in the country looks like. You know, we want to be best conditioned. We want to play smart. We want to play fast. We want to play physical. We want to play with great technique and fundamentals. We have a plan, and our plan is to gain ground. Every day we take one step forward.
Why are you walking?
Yeah, why not play that for you, right? That's awesome. You heard Coach in there saying, why are we walking? I love that. But today is the first day of spring practice for the Michigan State football team. And, you know, right now the spring game is scheduled for April 24th. So mark that date on your calendars right now, April 24th. That is going to be a Saturday, and that's about, let's see, 1, 2, 3. That's about 4 weeks from now. So about a month from now is when, you know, you'll get to see your Michigan State football team playing some spring football. Now, there is no word on if it will be open to the public at all because we are still in the midst of a pandemic. In case some people forgot, and I really do believe some people have like forgotten or not forgotten, just don't care at this point. You know, just ask the multitude of spring breakers down in Miami, Florida, right? Do I need to go on that rant? No, I don't think so. But yeah, you get my point. COVID is still out there, despite what some people think, and there is no word on whether or not Spartan Stadium will be open to the public for that game. Or if so, how many will be allowed in Spartan Stadium? But at least keep it on your radar. April 24th at Spartan Stadium is when the spring game will take place. Also, a pretty big commit, a transfer actually, from Minnesota has committed to the Michigan State football team. This news right now, you know, I'm recording this thing in the morning, and it's just now breaking, and I'm pretty sure by the time you're listening to this, you've probably seen it make the rounds on social media. But Michigan State football has struck big in the transfer portal with the addition of 6'4", 235-pound linebacker Itavion Brown. He's really, really good, folks. He was a true freshman at Minnesota last season. He didn't see any action on the field, and he utilized his red shirt after being the second highest rated player in the Golden Gophers class. He comes out of Lutheran North High School out in St. Louis, Missouri. He was ranked as the number 21st outside linebacker in the country for the 2020 recruiting class. That's according to the 247 Sports composite ranking. And he's just a great football player, good frame. You know, he's marked as having great athleticism, not great, elite. That's the word they use, elite athleticism. And this is coming from national recruiting analyst Alan Triu, who has a breakdown of Brown on 247sports.com. This is what national recruiting analyst Alan Triu has to say concerning Itavion Brown. Check it out. Quote, tall with a very big wingspan, even for his height, already has good size and weight with a frame that will allow him to potentially grow into several positions, primarily a receiver and outside linebacker in high school, but should start out on defense in college, shows good fluidity and athleticism in space, tracks the football well in the air, and has good ball skills. He changes directions fairly well for a longer-legged player. Can still get faster and more explosive. Main concentration in college will be finding a position full-time, as that is likely to be on defense. He will have a technical learning curve there, but has the physical tools to do it. Must get stronger in order to handle rush end or linebacker at the Power 5 level. Will need time to develop, but the ceiling is high and athleticism will be too much to keep him off the field. So that's big time, man. Minnesota transfer Itavion Brown coming to Michigan State University. Pretty awesome stuff. Big, 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 big move there. A lot of people excited about that. Okay, I need to address this because it's a topic that... It's really dominating sports headlines everywhere. And it's a topic that has a lot of different layers to it, and I have to touch upon it. I touched upon it briefly on Jack Ebling's show as he invited me as a guest yesterday, as I mentioned. And what's happening with Deshaun Watson is troubling in a lot of different areas. I first want to say this. We have to take these sexual assault allegations seriously. Anytime that you have a woman, a female, whether it be one or multiple, just one, you have to take it serious. If she is alleging sexual assault, and number two, these are the two most important things right now. Number two, you have to let the legal system play out because it would be incredibly unfair to Deshaun Watson to say that he is guilty before being proven innocent. And that latter point is the one that I really want to hammer home, because there are many people out there. And if you don't believe me, just type in at the top of Twitter.com in that little search bar, just type in Deshaun Watson's name and see what comes up. See what some people have already labeled Deshaun Watson before the legal process has played out. And look, I'll be the first to say, if he is guilty, then hey, the kind of criticism that I'm seeing on Twitter at that moment would be justified. But right now, it's entirely premature. But you know why it's amplified? Let's keep it all the way real. It's because he is an African-American football player. Not just that, though. He's a black football player playing the most coveted position in all of sports here in this country, the quarterback position. Not only is he black, and we all know the kind of territory that automatically comes with, right? When you are a black man who is in the public eye, especially if you are an entertainer, and that's what athletes are, right? That's what professional athletes are. Whether you play sports, whether you are a comedian, whether you are a movie star, whether you are a music artist, whether you are a social media influencer, if you are a black man in the public eye as an entertainer, you automatically are going to be judged harsher than your white counterparts if you have even just a small stench around your name. Again, you don't even have to, when it comes to this situation, Deshaun Watson hasn't been proven guilty of anything. You don't even have to be guilty of anything, but just a stench, and you are automatically canceled, especially here in cancel culture that is 2021. And is that fair? Heck no. It's just the reality. It's the reality of the times that we are living in here in 2021. And that's why, you know, I stated on Jack's show that I really hope that other black athletes, other black entertainers out there, other black males who are aspiring to be, you know, on Deshaun Watson's level at some point, take note of what's happening in the public sphere of this story and realize that if you are so blessed to make it to that level, that the line is very thin and the mountaintop is very, very slippery if you reach it. Because one mistake or one perceived mistake can end everything. Success is so fragile as a black man in America. And I hope that our youth is understanding this when looking at the full scope of what's happening with Deshaun Watson. Because I also think about what occurred with Brett Favre, another individual who played the quarterback position in the National Football League, but he's white. Did we forget about what happened with Brett Favre and his sexual assault case? He faced a sexual harassment lawsuit. And that was also, I mean, the similarities in both of these stories in comparison to Deshaun Watson and Brett Favre, this also was a situation in relation to a massage therapist, just like Deshaun Watson. Not as many allegations in comparison to Deshaun Watson, but still a massage therapist and a woman who believed that she was sexually assaulted by Brett Favre. Alleged that Brett Favre sent sexually suggestive text to her. Well, I should say actually two massage therapists. Not just one. This was a lawsuit filed by two massage therapists. They sued Brett Favre over claims that he sent these racy text messages. And the case was settled. But you know what I didn't hear when Brett Favre was going through all of this? I didn't hear anything close to what I'm hearing and what I'm reading on the daily when it comes to how people are reacting to Deshaun Watson. And I truly believe that has a lot to do with his race. And yeah, I do think it has a little bit also to do with the amount of women that are coming out now as well. Yeah, that's a factor to it. But you are colorblind if you don't think that race has something to do with the public outcry of Deshaun Watson as well. The public shaming of Deshaun Watson as well. You are colorblind if you don't think that his color, that the color of his skin has nothing to do with it. And again, if he is found to be guilty here, hey, that's when you make that move, and that's when you voice those harsh opinions of him, because it will be deserved. But right now, you got to let the legal system play out. But unfortunately, that won't happen because he's black. And he's a quarterback in the National Football League, a position that's historically white, a position that blacks have many black players have fought so hard to play. So many black athletes have fought so hard to get behind center to play that position. It is a coveted position. Oh, you need another example? How about Ben Roethlisberger and his sexual assault situation? Back in 2009, Andrea McNulty, an employee of Harris Hotel in Lake Tahoe, accused Big Ben of sexual assault. She alleged that the assault took place in his hotel room in 2008 after he asked her to help him fix the TV. McNulty said she begged him to stop, and yeah. So, and with Ben Roethlisberger, he was twice accused of sexual assault. Also, I mean, Ben has had a really rocky past. You know, he was charged with manslaughter, you know, as well. I don't know if you remember that. It's just, you know, when it comes to Ben, you don't ever hear about that anymore, do you? It's like it never existed. That's the difference, man. When you are a white athlete under the lights, I just can't help but ignore it. There is a difference, folks. You don't hear anything concerning, and you didn't really hear. It's like the story came out. We talked about it for like a week or two, and then that was it. So. And when it comes to Big Ben's case, I have to look up and see what exactly happened in that case and how it ended and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's one of those things, man, that I remember happening, and it's like, all right, yeah. Well, actually, I'm reading here the Lake Tahoe incident that ended when the parties agreed to a settlement. Details of the settlement were not made public. So that case was settled. Yeah, man. I just implore you guys to think a little bit. Just think and take it in. But to sit here and bash Deshaun Watson would be incredibly irresponsible. And on the flip side, to sit here and say that these women who are making these accusations are, you know, trying to seek, because I've heard this as well, trying to seek money and just are after Deshaun Watson, that would be incredibly irresponsible as well. Let the legal system play out and don't just pop off at the mouth, which is easy to do in 2021 when we all pop off at the mouth, right? Because of how easily accessible our social media pages are and how we can all be just cowards hiding behind keyboards, as Tom Izzo likes to say. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, we are out of time. But before I bid you all adieu, I would be remiss if I did not send thoughts and prayers to all of the victims who lost their lives due to that shooting in Colorado yesterday. I wanted to mention that all 10 victims have been identified. Police read the names of the 10 people killed in that shooting aloud in the news conference. They are Denny Strong, 20 years old, Nevin Stanisic, 23 years old, Ricky Olds, 25 years old, Trelola Bartkowiak, 49 years old, Suzanne Fountain, 59 years old, Terry Leaker, 51 years old, Kevin Mahoney, 61 years old, Lynn Murray, 62 years old, Jody Waters, 65 years old, and an officer also lost his life, Eric Talley, who was 51 years old. Call someone you love today, folks. Speak to them. Tell them you love them. Because we are living in some trying times and tomorrow is never promised. We'll see you on Wednesday. Be easy, people.